Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
There it is.
As it go.
This song is
sports. Last week, Monday night, this week, Wednesday night.
I was telling Gary, Rob, that I actually had reached out to Naj and texted him. I was like, yo, we're on tonight. He's like, oh, I appreciate that. So literally, I texted him, let him know we're actually on Wednesday night because it's hilarious to try to keep up with us, too. So he's like, oh, okay, all right, man. So we'll see if he jumps on and all the good stuff. Anyway, again, welcome everyone to another edition of Talking Sports with 12th Man. The month of March is upon us, March the 1st. We are ready to jump into a lot of interesting topics. JQ will be joining us momentarily, but we got the trio right now until he jumps on. Let's check in with the crew. So, Rob, you get the opening introduction, man. So, how you doing this evening, man?
Man, doing great, man. Ready to get this party started, man. Got some great Indian food tonight, so we ready to do this.
Good stuff, Mr. Gary, West Coast representing. He is ready to talk about some. Damian Lillard, he said, F those topics, Rob. I don't talk about Aaron Rodgers, but Gary, how you doing this evening, sir?
Hey, I'm doing good over here. Yeah, I definitely want to bring up Damian Lillard when we start this thing. And, yeah, he had an epic performance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can jump right there, too, and then we'll kind of ease into a couple of topics, too, because we always appreciate Rob taking time to put the topics in. But we talk about stuff that's topical, and that may give us time to definitely talk about the topic of the day, Mr. Jalen Carter, if you will, because that's a pretty huge topic, too, that kind of affects a lot of things happening in the NFL draft and kind of situations with that, too. But without further ado, again, I'm going to throw out the numbers for those I'm going to call into the show. As always, the number that Naj and all the crew call is the same number, the 424-243-9519. Follow your boys on Twitter, which is our Twitter handle is @12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, if you go to Facebook.com/ Talking Sports, the 12th Man or 12th Man Sports, you will find us as well. Rob posted again another mock draft, if you will. And I know you posted it kind of prior to something that happened too, because that's going to definitely change as far as what happened with Jalen Carter and some news that we'll jump into too. So, without further ado, let's kick this off. I think we got JQ. Literally, he came in literally on time. JQ.
Hey.
Man. There he is.
Hey, y'all. What's going on, y'all?
What's up, JQ?
Yeah, I'm sorry. What's going on, fellas? I'm running a little late, but I am here and ready to talk some sports with y'all, watch a little basketball, watch Boston hold on against Cleveland. I just left the Portland Pelicans game. So let's go.
Good deal. But we were just talking about Gary wants to show some love to Damian Lillard, so we're going to give him the opening, and we're going to let Rob not talk about Aaron Rodgers, man. So, Gary, finally, my guy, the floor is yours. I'm going to talk about Damian, that amazing 71-point performance, my guy.
Well, you know, this is the second 71 performance of the season. You know, the first one was Donovan Mitchell, but in regulation – you know, he didn't have anywhere near that. He had to score 13 points in overtime to get to his 71 points. Damian scored his 71 points in 39 minutes, which was...
Oh, he played Houston.
It doesn't matter who they played. When Kobe... I'm glad you mentioned that. When Kobe Bryant scored 81 points, everybody wasn't talking about who they were playing. But at the time, they were playing Toronto, one of the weakest teams in the league at the time. So it doesn't matter who you were playing. The fact of it is that he had those baskets. and he put him in, and it was the most efficient 70-point game or better in NBA history. Now let's talk about 60 points. Let's talk about 60-point games here. In the 60-point games, you know, there's Steph, there's LeBron, there's Shaq, there's Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Tim Duncan, Bill Russell, and KD. Yeah, and all those guys put together, they don't have as many 60-point games as Damian Lillard.
Got a hell of a lot more rings, though.
Oh, that's fine. Man. That's fine and dandy. And he may never get one because of his loyalty to Portland. And whether or not they can put that together, that remains to be seen. Probably not. But I love the fact that he's staying where he's staying, and he's not a ring chaser. I like that. I like that fact. I have a lot of respect for him. And his performance, you shouldn't take that out of, you know, context either. You know, that team, it wasn't great that he played against, but to put up those kind of numbers with that efficiency, 420 feet of, you know, of points is incredible. You know, the only two players that have more, he's sixth on the list, but Will Chamberlain's got so many of them, you know, back in his day. But in this day and age, to get points like that is incredible against anybody.
Yeah, no.
Go ahead now.
Now
you can talk about his rings that he doesn't have.
I wouldn't take anything away from Damian Lillard's performance, 71 points, obviously, but I wouldn't also compare, like I said, I wouldn't take anything away from Damian Lillard's performance. For anybody to score 71 points in the NBA game is a phenomenal performance. But I also wouldn't compare him to some other greats that did not do it either, because I don't think that's a fair comparison, because some of those greats were on teams that had 2 and 3 and maybe in some cases 4 superstars on it. So they could have been capable of doing that any given night as well. But when you have a lot of guys on your team, that you have 3 to 4 options on your team as far as go-to guys, you know, it's not going to be possible for a guy to put up that kind of those kind of points, 71 points on a night. Whereas Lillard right now, you look at that Portland team that he's on right now, probably about the only other scoring option on that team is Jeremy Grant right now, who's by the way, having a phenomenal year quietly in the NBA this year. He's really developed a 3-point shot and really stepped up his game. But, like I said, I wouldn't take anything away from Lillard, but I also wouldn't compare him to some of the greats that didn't do it. Like I said, some of those greats, like I said, they were on championship teams that had multiple stars on it. And the expectation, we weren't going to be a one-man show for somebody to put up those kind of numbers.
That's fair.
I mean, that's tough, though, because, you know, sometimes you want to see the flame, right? And that's the thing I appreciate the guys in the past. If they knew that somebody was on fire and they knew that they respected, yo, this guy's, I'm keep feeding him. So, again, you could have had 3 or 4 superstars in the squad, but if somebody got hot, they were like, let that guy, I'm going to keep feeding this guy. And, you know, same thing that happened with Joe Dumars at the games. And, you know, I think it kind of depends on the situation, too. So, Gary, I'm with you, man. I think that, you know, in spite of just him, but come on, man. You got to show some love, man. 71 points, 71 points. So,
no, I mean, it's a great performance. And I was just really messing with Gary about it because, you know, he gets in his goals by his plays. But he hates the Lakers, so I'm going to hate on him. But you talk about it, Kobe on a bad team. Did the same thing. Devin Booker on a bad team did the same thing. So, yeah, when you're an elite scorer, you can do things like that when you play on a bad team against another bad team. It's phenomenal. Don't get
well,
me wrong.
Well, now I'm talking – now I'll cut in here. I'm talking to you guys now about this, but I specifically remember us having a conversation here a couple of years ago where Damian Lillard wasn't even mentioned when you guys were talking about – you know, the greatest shooters, the greatest 3-point shooters. He wasn't even mentioned until I brought it up. And you go, oh, well, yeah, he's all right. You know, well, we have Ray Allen, and we have this guy and that guy. You know, a lot of these guys didn't even set up their shots. He can create his own shot. Those guys didn't create their shots.
Now that he's got 3-point shootout win on an All-Star weekend, now we can just go ham. Like, okay, I got it. I'm not saying that he's not a really good shooter. He is. He's a great shooter. But, you know, it took him a couple of tries to get to, you know, his 3-point shootout contest. He got it. Shots out today. Hey, Duke is probably the best NBA rapper ever. But there's, like Rob said, there's nobody else to buy for shots. So the Blazers go as well as far as Damian Lillard goes. So he's got the green light every time down the court. Not everybody has that same kind of condition on their team because they got to have other people that get fed to make sure that team and the chemistry stays good. So, yes, Damian is phenomenal. I'm never going to take that away from him. But he's playing on a bad, not on a bad team, but on a mediocre team, fighting for their playoff lives. Where he can take 28 to 30 shots a game. Yeah, he can get hot and get to 70. 100%. Dame is a beast. Don't get me wrong. But everything is set up perfectly for him on a nightly basis to go off.
I mean, it's tough, man. I mean, obviously, Anthony Simmons, you got to get some love. I mean, obviously, we're going to talk about the offensive there, too. But, you know. And he's not there yet, but I get you. You know, I'm trying to show some love to Gary, man. But
if your callback is Anthony Simmons, then the argument is over.
I'll give you that. We know that Dame is the dude. We get it. And in fact, give him props because he's been, you know, again sticking with Portland in spite of all that. He's like, I'm gonna stick here. I'm not leaving anywhere. So, you know. Less respect for them, too. So I'll give that to you. But I'm just trying to, like, you know, throw some stuff, you know. You know. It's all good. Hey, we're going to move on because we'll be here arguing all night about that. We have a lot of things to hit up, too. Rob, I'll let you talk about what's happening. What's up next with Aaron Rodgers, A.A. Ron, after his dark retreat, whatever, man. And we got to talk about some ish about Jalen Carter. Go ahead, Rob. Talk about Aaron Rodgers.
Hey, Aaron Rodgers admitted what the rest of the world knew already, is that he admitted that he's a diva. And
he
unbelievable,
did?
Right? Yeah. Well, what's going to happen with him? Yeah. it's crazy.
I didn't.
No, but Rob, go ahead. I'm sorry, Rob. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, in a nutshell, that's what he said. He was the diva.
he did, you know? Yes.
Basically, in a nutshell, that's what he said. You know, he's not ready to make a decision yet. Things of that nature, you know. Just crazy how he responded to the Packers GM. But I think we talked about this on the show a few weeks ago. I think we all know that Aaron Rodgers is not coming back to the Packers. They're ready to move on. They're ready to move on to Jordan Love and give him an opportunity. They spent the first round pick on him. You saw some of his progression on last year, and they can probably diversify the offense a little bit more with Jordan Love. Not saying Jordan Love is better than Aaron Rodgers, but they can probably diversify his offense a little bit, and it's time to start growing and developing with him, right? He possibly could be as good as Jordan Love. I mean, Jalen Hurts, who knows, right? But they got to give him that opportunity. Aaron Rodgers is knocking on 40. You know, he's a diva. He doesn't fit the persona of the Green Bay Packers. And the Packers are ready to move on from him. And the next thing is where he's going to go. I think he's going to go to one or two teams. I think he's going to be either the Raiders or the Jets. I think that's where he winds up. He either winds up with the Raiders, Josh McDaniels, and the Raiders, or he goes to the Jets. Obviously, he's definitely going to go to the AFC team. The Packers have made it clear they don't want to trade him to an NFC team. But I think he's eventually going to wind up with one of those two teams, either the Raiders or the Jets. So we'll kind of see what happens here. He's out of his dark retreat, so I think any day now he's going to express his feelings for the Packers. But I think regardless of what his feelings are, I think the Packers are ready to move on from him.
Yeah, and I don't know what his cap hit is when he gets traded, but to your point about diversifying it, like, what can I do with that money? They already talked about, I think they've already restructured a couple of contracts. One was Aaron Jones. I think they restructured one of the defensive players. They want to restructure Jair Alexander. But if you get some of that money back out now, you know, from Aaron Rodgers. But this dude, man, what did he say? Like, the darkness and the light has both touched me in different places. So now I got to go and take a couple more days to figure out what I'm going to do. When I read it, I'm paraphrasing that quote. But it said something like that, where the darkness and the light had touched him. I said, come on, Aaron Rodgers. Dude, when you come out of that, your statement has to be a little bit better than that. You can't tell me the light has touched you. You still need to take a couple more days to figure out what you're going to do. I'm with you, Rob. Short case, he's a diva. He did nothing more to let us know that that's exactly where he is. At some point, you got to be like, you can cut bait with Brett Favre. You can cut bait with Aaron Rodgers. They both got one title. All the promise, different kind of issues, you know, but issues nonetheless that kept them to only get to one title. If you can move off of Brett Favre, you can move off Aaron Rodgers. And I think he got you. When he came out and said that, I said, yeah, it's Jordan Love time. You got to find out. Because the problem is...
Hey, they moved on from Brett Favre a little bit earlier in his career, too, than they over Aaron Rodgers.
They did. Because you have Aaron Rodgers there, and Aaron Rodgers is maybe a little bit more of the, you know, the arm talent. But when you have those problems with those two, and if you mess around and don't exercise that fifth option, I don't know if they did or not, Jordan Love, he has a good year. Now you have the same problem the Giants have with Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones outperformed expectations, and they didn't exercise this fifth year where they could have got a guy on the cheap. You know, now they got he wants $40-something million a year, and everybody's like, come on, Daniel Jones, we're not giving you $40 million a year. But the problem is that you let him have a playoff run, and his agent is smart to try to capitalize on that. And you don't necessarily want to be in that same kind of trick bag with Jordan Love messing around with Aaron Rodgers. But when I'm with you, Ron, when I read that statement, I said, man, Aaron Rodgers should be on that ooh-wee. That got to be a little bit more than some weed. He got to be on some stuff that is real powerful. Because, wow, how do you read that and say, yep, that's my guy. I'm going to keep him for 2 more years if you're Green Bay. You can't.
Well, Aaron Rodgers is the smartest guy in the room. You just ask him and he'll let you know. And I can only imagine what a fit-throwing little brat he was when he was backing up Brett Favre, you know. And there was rumors, let's move on from Favre. It's my turn. They gave him his way, I think, a little too early. And he's been he's just been a whining bitch ever since. He's talented as hell. He is. I mean, you get that whole sense in how he's over the years has treated the reporters in his press conferences and everything like that. I mean, that would get really old really quick if you're in these press conferences every day and you have to deal with a pompous asshole like that. So I wish him nothing but misery.
Yeah.
They released
him. No, I don't.
You know, the dead cat
what's
is
interesting
million,
is that the Packers,
yeah, go ahead, Ralph.
The Packers re-signed Aaron Rodgers last year to a 3-year extension and thinking that, hey, you know, we're going to ride with Aaron Rodgers for at least another two to three years here, right? But now here we are, 1 year later, we're going through the exact same situation with Aaron Rodgers and his foolishness and his drama. And 1 year later, after getting a 3-year extension, it's unbelievable, right? And I think the Packers are ready to move on. They're tired of it. Now the question is who's going to take on the remainder of that contract, who's got the cap space to do so. I mean, right now a lot of these teams are very creative with as far as from a cap perspective. But, you know, I think the Packers are definitely ready to move on. And you listen to the GM talk today, too. And one of the things he's saying, hey, I can't assure you that the Packers are going to be Aaron Rodgers is going to be quarterback for the Packers next year. Now, in previous years, even with all the controversy they've had with Aaron Rodgers, he would say Aaron Rodgers is going to be our quarterback. And so that was very telling. Nice. Is that baby blue and navy blue?
It's purple, baby.
Oh. Yeah, he's got the sneaky game, man. But, yeah, that was very telling today when the GM says we can't guarantee that Aaron Rodgers is going to be our quarterback next season. That pretty much says that he's not going to be the quarterback next year. Very
correct.
Different from the what we've heard the last 2 years out of
him. Let's move this on here. All right, so believe it or not, Drake has a song called 0 to 100. And I'm going to reference that too because that's what the hell happened with Jalen Carter, man. You talk about just his draft stock and everything that happened. Man, that went 0 to 100 real quick. From this
that's
morning
funny.
To like, you know, what the hell. So we'll talk about this. This impacts a lot of things that are happening in the draft, right? Because you keep hearing rumors and we talk about everyone's line if your lips are moving, but this is going to impact the draft. I mean, this guy was the top, you know, what you hear, top three pick, top five pick, something like that. Now, this definitely has an impact on the draft. And I'll let Rob kind of talk about it more. I know we're all in Georgia, you know, if you will, if you're here, Rob, if you're kind of bouncing back and forth. But just, you know, there's one half of you, it's like, it's interesting because it's like, you know, these kids, I think they're invincible, and, you know, they just celebrated the championship. They're, you know, you keep hearing about racing and whatnot, too, and it's like, when are these kids going to learn, man? Stop doing stupid shit, man. I mean, come on, man. This is not something. I know what you're going to say.
They're 21.
It's like, they are 21.
Kids have always done stupid shit.
They've done that, but it's like, they're, like, you feel invincible. Again, I came from the strip club. Now I'm going to play race games. And now someone's life's impacted. And you're like, oh, I'm just going to, like, you know, not talk about this. And next thing you know, you start unraveling stuff. And it's like, this is a very serious situation. And obviously, your decisions are impactful whenever it comes to people's lives, you know. So, again, that's kind of me on the diatribe. But this is definitely impacting, you know, his future and obviously the future of, you know NFL, too. So, Rob, I'll let you kind of talk about that a little bit more, too, and go from there.
Yeah. And I know I just posted an updated mock draft on tonight. I actually did this mock draft a few days ago, but I just got around to posting it on tonight. So I had Jalen Carter, the Bears, stay at the number one spot as the number one pick in the draft. You know, he's obviously the most talented guy in this draft, right up there with Will Anderson, right? So they are the two most talented players in this draft, regardless of positions, right? Obviously, we got to see what's going to shake up, you know, from this. To me, it's this incident happened on January 15th, and we heard about the incident, but we never heard that Jalen Carter was involved in the incident, right? So I think what is going to come down to talent evaluators in this particular situation, was Jalen forthcoming prior to it coming out today with teams? And if he wasn't, I think that's going to really hurt his draft stock. If he was, I think teams are going to be a little bit more understanding, right? But if he hasn't been forthcoming with teams prior to that news announcement coming out today, then I could see that really dropping his stock down. Now, listening to some talent evaluators, some previous GMs in the NFL. They still seem to think he probably won't fall past the middle of the first round. I mean, that's kind of hard to believe. But a lot of GMs are saying right now that he won't get past the middle of the first round regardless. But I think it's going to come down to whether or not he was very forthcoming with GMs prior to this announcement come out today. I think if he was forthcoming, I think I could definitely see himself still remaining in the top five of this draft, absolutely. And if he wasn't, I think you'd probably see him somewhere around the middle of the first round like these previous GMs are saying right now.
Listen.
There's no question about his talent. I mean,
no question about his talent. And I'm not going to hate on him. We have done far worse at age, how is he, 21, 22? Somewhere in there, 21, 22? We have done equally are more dumb things at 21, 22 than that dude did that day. And I'm not going to excuse it. I'm just saying, as a dude, I have done some dumb stuff at 21, 22, but I wasn't a two-time national champion. Yeah, but the spotlight wasn't on me because I'm not a two-time national champion. And he left the scene of the crime. What I will say to that is, one, Will Anderson and his agent are in
the office doing the Cabbage Patch, like, yeah. Listen,
yeah,
that
are.
Dude
yeah.
is just taking himself out of the running. Of the first, of the top five, he's taking himself out of the running. I just think he has, because now those people that didn't want to take a non-sexy defensive lineman, defensive end in the first five based off the scout grades can say, listen, oh, he did this. That's why we didn't take him. That's why we reached for Will Levis or Anthony Richardson. Mm-hmm. You know, like they can talk themselves into other people and say, I wanted the other guy all along. Now this dude's giving me all the ammunition to justify it to my fan base because of what he just did, right? So I think he falls out of the top five regardless of whether he was truthful or not, and I doubt that he was because he's young and he's going to lie. It's always going to catch up to you, but you're young and you feel like you're invincible and you can get away with it. That chick died in that where they said he was, you know, drag racing with them. Even if I don't think he had anything to do with her crashing, but him being a part of that is going to have a negative stigmatism. And people that didn't want to draft a defensive player that high anyway now have the justification to knock him down. But the problem is, not the problem, but the point is though, all those people that were back there that would love to get Jalen Carter, that didn't think they had a chance of getting Jalen Carter, all like, yes, he is taking himself out of the running of the top five. I might be able to get him at 14, 15, 16, 17, 20. They are now having to reevaluate their boards and say, I can say what I want to say, but this dude might fall here, and I want to get this offensive player, but, man, our defense is terrible. We're going to get Jalen Carter at 14? Ooh, yeah. So I'm with you.
We need him in New Orleans. I'll tell you that right now, the way I run.
That's what I'm saying. Those people, those dudes in the middle that never thought they had a chance at him, there's no chance he falls out of the middle of the first round. They will say, hey, to your point, he didn't cause the crash. He was there. He was a little not forthcoming, but he's 21. Never hold against him. He should have been gone in the top three. I'm sitting here picking at 14, 15, and 16. He's still sitting there. Yeah, I'm going to take him. So he's cost himself some money. Don't get me wrong. But I agree with that Taliban, what you talked about. I just don't feel like he falls out of the middle of the first round because people are going to say, I'm getting a steal at 16. Somebody that could win number one. No way.
He can steal very well. I mean, his interviews are going to be very key right now, right? His explanation of this situation, right, is going to be real key or with these evaluators. He can steal very well, still going to top five. I mean, we still got almost 6 weeks, 7 weeks, almost 8 weeks before we actually get to the draft. A lot of time could spare, you know, going forward. And right now it's only considered a misdemeanor in Georgia, right? And so it's been a lot of time.
Sorry, Gary, but I'm going to give you some more follow to go on, Gary. But to your point about that is that the top Bishays of the world had already come out and said that he had character issues. So you have that opinion being put out there out to you, and then that comes behind it. It's tough to still stand at 5 or 10. Not saying that he can't, because there's some desperate dudes out there, and they feel like he's still number one. So maybe somebody at 6 or 7 says, I can still take him. It gives you the ammunition to not take him there if you had your heart set on this offensive player, namely a quarterback or one high-end offensive tackle or wide receiver. If you had your heart on offense, but you couldn't justify it because Jalen Carter is so good that he happened to fall for whatever other reasons, you can't say, damn, I didn't take Jalen Carter. Now you have all the ammunition to say, oh, they already said he had character issues, and then this comes up. Now you can pass him along to somebody else because you wanted the other guy anyway. So it depends on how people have their boards set up. But talent-wise, you're right. Top 5 or 10, 100%. But when you have both of those things come out about him, if you in offense sales and you want to go offense in the top 10, now you have a reason to pass on him. He's cost himself some money, ultimately, is the bottom line. Sorry, Gary, go ahead, bro.
That very well could be. He probably did. In these interviews, will he have a representative with him, or will it be just a one-on-one with him and the GM of these teams? How does that go?
That's a great question. I do not know the answer to that.
It's a little bit of both. You know, I think it's just from you know, Andre knows a friend of mine who's at got a lot of influence and works around the NFL. So based on what I've heard from him,
it's a little bit of both in these kind of situations. Sometimes it's a little bit more one-on-one, and depending on the situation, sometimes it's one-on-one with you and your agent and things of that nature. So it's a little bit of both. I think that goes on behind the scenes of these kind of things, combines, draft workouts, where you potentially may go. Hey, this we may consider you here if you're still available. These conversations are with the player and sometimes with the player and the agent.
I was just curious how that went. I wasn't sure. I know that I would, if I were a GM and I was that guy, and that was, I had a high pick, a top five pick, and, you know, I brought this young man in. I'd be telling the agent, I don't want to hear from you. You know, young man, you answer this question for me. This is what I need to know. Because you've already had some character issues, and this is what we're hearing. You know, you going to bring this to our team? Because we don't need it. There are a lot of good players out there. So I want to know what you can bring to us. What kind of attitude are you going to have when you're coming to us? I would want those sort of questions answered absolutely before I select
them. They're going to interrogate them. There's no question about that. They're definitely going to tell you know, you can only go back to see what some of the questions have been asked of some of these players in the past. And, I mean, you can be chucks. You know, they've asked players about their moms, their dads.
If your mom was a prostitute,
mate.
Man, listen.
Yeah,
what?
Yeah. So
pretty messed up
on
the question they
asked. There's no question about that. Yeah.
Dan Frank.
I think they have every right to. I mean, when you think about it, the millions and millions of dollars that they invest in these players, you know, they got to try and get it right. You know, and when you're dealing with a player of that impact. Man, you want to get it right. You don't want to have this guy,
you know,
3 years from now sitting in a jail cell or something, you know, from some other
That's
incident.
The thing. What about character issues? That's the thing.
Some teams are
going to
bet on their culture, and I can see a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers if he falls to 17. Mike Tomlin is going to say, hey, I'm the type of guy I can get to him. I can coach him. And
Man, if you don't stop invoking the damn Steelers in these conversations, then, man, me and you are going to have a problem. Pick another team.
Hey, but you know I'm telling the truth. Mike Tomlin is going to bet. He will bet on himself that he can get to this player, right? I'm just being honest. He's the type of guy, he's the type of coach that will bet on himself that he can get to Jalen Carter. And turn him around as a man, as well as a football player, right? So, you know, you look at a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers, I mean, I could see them saying, hey, you know, we're going to bet on our culture. We're going to bet on, you know, raising this young kid and turning him into a man. You know, you look at, you know, like I said, the Pittsburgh Steelers right around there, 17, I could see that. I could see Bill Belichick at 14 doing the same. I can see Belichick saying, hey, you know, we can get to this kid. Mm-hmm.
We can help him keep that. But you know what? Hold on, real quick, Andre. I want to put this on record so everybody hears it. But there's also a story that he had a teammate that was a walk-on that couldn't afford some of his meals at lunch. And Jalen Carter bought every meal for him when he was next to him because he did not have a scholarship to get it, so his meals weren't paid. So shout out to Jalen Carter if that story is true. I want to put a positive out there for him for people listening to this podcast. So it's all not negative. That if that story is true, good on Jalen Carter for helping his team out. Make sure that
absolutely that is a great story. That tells you a lot about someone's their integrity. You know.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
My argument was only from a GM perspective. If I wanted to do something different, I have an argument now to do it so I can talk to my fan base. I'm not saying Jalen Carter's a bad kid. I want to make sure that as we cover this discussion, that we talk about the good that he's also done so we make sure that's out there.
Right. That's good. Yeah.
I don't know the kid, but my bet is that he's not a bad kid. He made a mistake. That's my gut is he's not a bad kid. That's just my gut. I don't know him, never met him.
Yeah.
I just know he's a heck of a football player. But my gut tells me he's not a bad kid, right? And so it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out here over the next 6, 7, 8 weeks with Jalen Carter. I'm sure more and more of the stories are going to come out here. Possibly could hurt him and possibly could help him, right? Depending on what more comes out of the story, right? So So we just have to wait and see, you know, how this thing plays out with them. Yeah. I'm not a Georgia Bulldog fan, but at the same time, I want to see the kid, you know, come out of this. And hopefully, you know, he comes out of this well and it's not as bad as what we're hearing right now.
Agreed. Sorry, Dre. I just wanted to put down record.
No, it's good stuff. It's not looking good for Kirby Smart right now, too, because you also heard the story. You hear the story that Stetson Bennett was hiding behind a wall when he got arrested, too? Did you hear that? He was basically hiding behind a wall.
He was, dude. These two just won back-to-back national championships. They're still young. He was hampered, didn't want to get in trouble. I don't hope that he gets a 25 or 21-year-old. I don't.
No, 25 is different from 21, but I'll give you some leeway.
Bro,
but, you know, I'm
not
really.
If you're 25, thank you. If you're 25 years old, you
really.
National,
come on, man.
You won back-to-back national championships. You are going to wow out. Period.
I know you're going to wow out. I know that. But
the
I'm saying, like, 21.
The situation, Stetson Bennett is not 25. That dude like 45 years old.
Okay, see.
I mean, come on,
see,
man.
See. Come on, man. All right, go ahead. Go to the next topic.
I'm going to say he should be a little bit more mature. I'm saying he should be a little more mature. That's all I'm saying. That dude, he's a little more mature. That's all I'm trying to say. I can get, like, 25
dude,
certain things. This dude.
You
said,
live here in Atlanta.
Not good
I was
stuff.
Going out on Tuesday night. I was 25. Like, I didn't have to go to work on Wednesday. At 25, I did it. Religiously, and so did you.
So too.
At 25 here in Atlanta.
I was married, though. But I get you. Yeah, I was
me
already,
too.
Like, that's, you know. Yeah.
I took it with me. You still kicked it on Tuesday. And we didn't win no national championship. We were just partying. You know why? Because we was 25. So let's try.
Still doing that, let's
slow down. Let's slow down. I'm not going to judge Tyson on that. He didn't want to get caught. He's 25.
I get you. No one said that. He didn't want to get caught. I'm just saying that looking good. That's what I'm saying. It's some funny stuff happening. Like, and we get it. You know, we saw Baker Mayfield going to ham on. There's a lot of situations where, like, oh.
He got tossed over that wall. I ain't going to talk about it, though. That was funny.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead and move on. I ain't going to bring that up.
That's hilarious. We got to stop at 12, man, because we got to get through this. What's up with T. Higgins, JQ?
Listen, it's all – part of it is that they don't want to have another juggernaut because the AFC is always traced, and that's just as a juggernaut. But you don't want to keep that offense together, for one. If you're other people, you want to drum up interest and cause angst of – you want to pit T and Chase against each other, right? If I'm another AFC team, that's what I want to do. If I can't necessarily beat them, I want to get every mental advantage I can on that locker room. Everybody want me, Chase. What you think about that, bro? I could be a number one, too. Hey, man, I love you, but I can be better than you. So they want to put those seasons out. And plus, until you pay Burrow, pay Chase, pay Higgins, all the teams are going to say you can't pay all of them. So they're going to try to get the drumbeat together about how they can get one of them out of the roster. So I'm not – to me, I laugh at it. Until something happens, I'll deal with that at that point in time. But if I'm another team, especially in the AFC, I want to break that shit up, right? So I want to say, hey, let's trade for T. We know they ain't going to trade Chase. We can probably get T. So let's try to get T and call some dissension in the locker room. So it's par for the course. When you come out of kind of from the ashes and everybody's just like, man, they're young. We cannot let these dudes stay together. If I know the teams, I want these dudes to stay together. I want to break that shit up. I want a piece of that. I like T. He'd be good on my team. Why would you not do that? Like, I'm not upset about it. I just, until Cincinnati pays them all and they take that off the table, then this is going to be the conversation.
Well, you heard what the response to the Cincinnati GM came out and said today.
Yeah.
He said, go and find your own receiver. Yeah, so he's basically saying, hey, T. Higgins is not for sale. We don't have any intentions of trading him. And, you know, if you're the Cincinnati Bengals right now, I mean, right now, you just came off an AFC championship. You were in the Super Bowl the year before. Right now, you got to find a way to keep as many of these players together. This is right now is an opportunity, a window of opportunity for you as an organization. So you got to find a way to keep your stars right now and see where you need to enhance the roster to get over the hump, right? You know, you got to get over the Chiefs. I mean, you did beat them last year and make it to the Super Bowl, but you know that's the team that's going to be your nemesis. For quite some time. So where are those opportunities to improve? You got to improve that secondary, right? You got to improve those corners. You got to figure out a way to keep Bates at safety, and you got to figure out a way to keep Burrow and those wide receivers.
You already
right?
drafted his replacement.
And, you know, maybe even get another weapon for Burrow. You know, improve the offensive line. Maybe get another pass rusher so you can have a three-man pass rush rotation. My second-round mock, I got him taking the B.J. Ojulari in the second round, edge rusher from LSU. But, you know, you got to find some windows of opportunities to enhance the roster of what they have right now. That's right now keeping your stars, improving that offensive line, maybe getting a tight end, improving their corners, and maybe even getting another pass rusher on that team.
Let Jesse Bates go. Anybody that's ever paid for a high-quality safety not named Ed Reed, it don't work out great for him. Look at Jamal Adams with the Jets in Seattle. It's going to hurt Pittsburgh with Minkah Fitzpatrick. You got to keep those stars, swinging around the edges of the free agency, and keep drafting. I'm with you 100%.
Nice. Good stuff. All right. We'll talk about this, and I'm going to we're going to talk about the Cowboys in a quick second, and building around Dak a little bit for Gary. The next topic is about the Colts trading up to number one. And this is interesting, right? So if you're the Colts, they've had pretty much good success with number one picks, you know, Peyton Manning, except for Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck.
Because, you know, but, you know, the experiment right now getting these retread quarterbacks has not been successful. So I think what they've decided is, we're going to get our guy, whoever that guy is, and probably leading towards C.J. Stroud, whose name Skian came from. The coach came from Philadelphia. He's probably seen Jalen Hurts, so maybe he's like, this is the guy that I'm kind of pattern. My game after, they're just going to grow. They already got Michael Pittman Jr. They've got Jonathan Taylor. You know, I don't know what happened with the offensive line. They took a step back. Just the
institute
of Matt Ryan, he was lost it, you know. But, you know, again, they're probably going to say, hey, we're going to we got our guy. We're no more retreads. And this is how we're going to move forward and kind of keep building. You know, they got eight draft picks. They got eight picks in this draft. So they can kind of, you know, maneuver if they want to kind of make some trades and stuff like that too. But they're going to get the guy, man. So, you know, again, there's still some interesting that's happening, what's going on with, you know, the Jalen Carter situation too, because that's going to see what happens with that. But they're going to make a call and say, hey, this is our guy. We're going to go all in. So I think there's a great, you know, probably 90% opportunity of them making that move. So that's just me because they're going to get their guy. So that's me.
They're not getting CJ if they don't trade up.
Good again? What do you say?
They don't get CJ if they don't trade up, right? Chicago 1, Houston 2?
Yeah.
Arizona?
Yeah.
Unless, I take that back. Houston's definitely taking the quarterback. Arizona is not. So it depends on Chicago.
Arizona and Chicago, neither one of them are going to take a quarterback here. But I think what you got to be worried about if you're the Colts, I think it's a very high percentage chance that the Bears trade out of the number one spot because there's a very good chance that they can still get the player that they want by trading down, right? They're not going to take a quarterback at one. So if you're the Colts, and, you know, the GM made a really good point today. He says, hey, we are only going to trade up today if there's somebody we really like. You know, and right now they're not finished with any kind of evaluations for, you know, to make that kind of justifications. But if it comes down to a player that they really like here, you got to be worried about teams behind you jumping you too, right? Because you know Houston's going to draft a quarterback. And so if you're the Colts, yeah, you almost have to consider making this move if you really like one of these quarterbacks because you got to be concerned about the Panthers coming up. You got to be concerned about the Raiders coming up here. You got to be concerned about the Falcons coming up here. So if you're the Colts, you almost have to make this move just to secure one of the – because you know Houston's going to grab one. So if there's two guys that you're highly, you know, considering here, you got to trade up to one to get them because somebody else is either going to come up to one to get them or somebody's going to come up to Arizona and get them at three, right, if Chicago does not trade back. So you got to think about that. And, hey, you know, Anthony Richardson's name is hot right now, hottest fish grease. And, he could very well move into that top five. Anthony Richardson's name is hot as fish grease, even with his accuracy not where it needs to be yet. Hey, when you look at these quarterbacks right now, who's got the most potential is Anthony Richardson. The guy is 6'4", 230 pounds, can dust you in 80 yards down the field. He's got a rocket for an arm. He just doesn't have the accuracy or the quarterback skills just yet
at all
for compared to Bryan Young. And C.J. Stroud, yeah. So
that's kind of important, though. Accuracy is kind of important.
Man, I'll let you.
Could very,
okay.
Now, I have Anthony Richardson going number 9 in Carolina right now, and I have him as the third best quarterback in the draft. But, hey, there are some talent evaluators out there that are very high on him. And by draft day, he could very well be in the top 5. And let me tell you this. By draft day, he could very well be the number 1 pick in this draft.
Okay, that MF is not going number 1. But Indianapolis, if you sit there at 4, depending on what happened with Jalen Carter, that changed things for them too as well. So they might be sitting there saying in a secondary cat bird seat of, well, if that happens and somebody jumps us, depending on where our grades are on Will Levis and Anthony Richardson, now Jalen Carter and Will Anderson are both sitting there. I've already paid Darius Leonard. I feel good about my roster a little bit. Can I drop down 3 or 4 spots, pick up another first or a second pick, and get a Richardson or a Will Levis if I feel that strongly about them and still enhance that roster? They still need some help along those lines in Indianapolis. So I don't know. I know Arizona's not taking one. Chicago's defense is trash. So let's be clear about it. If they see Will Anderson and he works out great and whatnot, I can see Will Anderson going number 1. And it may be a bomb pick for Chicago, and bomb isn't good, bomb isn't bad. But when they say, hey, we didn't get the offers we thought because people were lowballing us trying to get this number 1 pick, that Chicago defense was horrible. The defense and
right.
The offensive line. So if you can go get somebody like Will Anderson to put a linebacker outside the edge and you mess around and get Michael Parsons, because he could be Michael Parsons at number 1, then you take Will Anderson and you just let the chips fall in the arc for Chicago. And then now you have Houston going to take 1. Arizona's not. Now Indianapolis, if Arizona moves out, somebody gives them something good for them, okay, fine. Depends on how you feel about Will Levis and Anthony Richardson if you're Indianapolis. If you feel like those guys, if you feel like it's just not a top 2, there's a top 4 or a top 3, and you can drop down a little bit and recruit some of it because somebody wants Jalen Carter, that's also got to be on the table. So Indianapolis also wins with Jalen Carter getting arrested.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well,
I
thought the GM said it best yet. It's got to be a clear guy that they like. If there's a clear guy that they like, got to – that separates himself from the other 3 quarterbacks. There's going to be 4 quarterbacks that go in the first round. So I thought the GM or the coach said it best today. He's got to be a clear-cut guy that they want in order for them to move up to the number 1 spot. Yeah, you want to make sure that nobody else is going to come up and whether it be the Panthers, whether it be the Raiders, whether it be the Falcons. You want to make sure that one of those teams are not going to come up and grab it.
We look for a quarterback. Hey, let Gary get fucked. So I gotta get Naj in here because we gotta wrap up at 12. Get your thoughts in, Gary. Go ahead, man.
Well, I just think it's going to be an interesting first round draft picks. You know, all of them from top to bottom, where these guys fall. I think there's going to be some movement to get different players. But one thing I wanted to say about Rob is, you know, if you look back at some of these drafts that Rob has done over the last, since I've been on this podcast, and you look at them, man, he's close with this stuff.
Yes.
Very, very impressive, Rob. The time that it takes to do this sort of thing that you do for us every week, with everything you've got on your plate, we really appreciate it.
Oh, man, I appreciate that. And I definitely enjoy doing the research and spending time with him and looking at YouTube tapes and footage and things of that nature. So I definitely definitely enjoy doing it. It also helps you when you do so many to say, oh, I had it right in one of those drafts, right? So it also helps you when you do so many mock drafts, right? You can, I had it right.
Well, I think you're selling yourself short.
One out of 30 was right.
I know, that's that bullshit. He likes to get Pittsburgh all the players that come from Ohio State, and he knows that I don't want to see him go to Pittsburgh. He just pistols with me wherever they are and he can get me going.
No, that's just funny. That's just funny.
Yeah. Hey,
Nice.
That's not even a thought. No. Hey, I got Pittsburgh taking Jordan Addison in the first round and later in my draft.
That's a good pick.
Let's go. 5-time
karaoke
champion. I had to pull Future out on him tonight, man. It was a shame, man. Tore it down. Anyway, I've been overstated, but gentlemen.
Wait. Did you say you did Future and karaoke?
Yeah, man. I'm sorry. I'm going. It happens. But, anyway, look. Yeah, I'm with everything you guys are talking about as far as the draft. This is a poker draft. Once again, remember, this is lion season. Everything
it's
you
need
in here is a lie. This is lion season. This is how this poker game is played. But, again, quarterbacks are a premium, so no matter what, they will be overdrafted. That's just the way the game goes. And Chicago, if I was Chicago, I wouldn't work out any quarterback. I wouldn't even fly him in. I would just lay my cards up. Yeah, I'm trading this pick. What y'all got? Because they're in the catbird seat, man. Somebody has to make a deal. Chicago can pick with, you know, pick whatever they like afterwards. And you have a team where you need so much, it doesn't really matter about position. You just want to get players. So, yeah, Chicago's perfect. Indy is giving up on that, you know, the experiment you guys talked about, which I don't think is a bad experiment. I just think their roster wasn't good enough to pull it off. I think they really over-evaluated their roster and thought they were really good, and you just plug in a quarterback. It was like, no, you weren't that talented.
That's fair.
But I think another organization could pull that off. But, yeah, they got to get a QB, and they got to get Jeff Saturday out of there. I don't know what the hell they're doing. But it's going to be beautiful. My son is going to die. I'm going to bury my son. My son is moving up the draft chart. Shout out to Anthony Richardson. I told y'all it was coming. Too big, too strong, too athletic. You got to take a chance on him, man. This is Josh Allen, Cam Newton all over again. Now, if he flames out,
hey,
you took a risk on something worth taking a risk on. So I got no problem with it. But, yeah, man, I'm with y'all. And, again, great draft board, man. Shout out to you for the work every week.
Yeah.
Anthony Richardson is working with 4- and 5-star players at Florida. If you want to talk about Will Levis with 3 stars, they're trying to make 4 or 5 stars, I can almost listen to that. It wasn't like they didn't have talent in Florida where he didn't perform well. Florida was putting out 4 or 5 stars. I'm sorry. I just don't understand that. I don't understand.
JQ,
I tell you,
you ever been at
you
a workout
turn on
a
game tape against
a real
Utah
big arm?
And you see what happens? All coach? You look at is the game tape against Utah. He would be the number one pick in the draft. But then, but you got to look at the other 10 games too, right? That's the problem.
Yeah.
With Anthony, but if you turn on a game tape against Utah, I mean, he was lights out in that
he was.
Throwing the football and running the football. But like I said, the problem is that there are 10, 11 other games that he played in, and you can see that there's still some growing and development at the quarterback.
Premium talent. It's not like he had bad talent. He's got playing at Bowling Green. He's got premium talent in Florida. Like, you know what? I would get on here and eat my words, and I would own it if he becomes that dude. But it's not like he was playing with bums. That's why I have a harder time wrapping my arms around Anthony Richardson.
Yeah. Honestly, I think he needed another year quarterback in college, to be honest with you. And I think that could have helped him. Now, he still may very well be in the top 5 or very well be the number 1 pick in this year's draft. I mean, he has that kind of chance at getting it. But if he would have came back to school another year and got another year coaching, I can almost promise you he would have been the number 1 pick in next year's draft.
You would kind of rather he doesn't learn any more bad habits down there. You'd rather get him and see if you can fix everything that's wrong. Like, of course, this is the ultimate risk.
Good point.
This could go bad. Mm-hmm. So I'm definitely agreeing with y'all.
Risk reward. Right. Yeah.
You look at that draft board, man. That's the risk. That's the risk to take.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Hey.
Yeah.
Especially
when
you look at the
success.
People
talking about that.
You look at Patrick Mahomes' college tape, and he was accurate with the football. So I can't compare him to Mahomes in college. But, hey, I mean, Jalen Hurts was not an elite quarterback. Well, I mean, he won a lot of football games in college. But Anthony Richardson
was
more talented than Jalen Hurts.
In college.
Jalen Hurts was on better football teams than Anthony Richardson was, you know, being at Alabama and Lincoln Riley. But this kid, as Naj mentioned, is from an athletic ability standpoint, Young, Stroud, Levis, they don't have the athletic ability that Anthony Richardson has. And when you look at arm talent and when you look at leg talent, he's got both. He's got all of them beating those areas.
Chase ceilings, not floors, baby.
Gary, do your last part about the Cowboys.
But does he have them between the ears? Does he have the accuracy? That's going to be key.
No and no. Go ahead, Gary.
JQ is not a fan. JQ is not a fan. We know what you're saying, JQ.
Well, you know, what I'm reading is there was a bit of a rift between Kellen Moore and McCarthy on his play calling. And McCarthy's come out and said that he wants the Cowboys to be a running team and not throw the ball, you know, 45 times a game. I can understand that, but you have to have an offensive line. You have to have an offensive line to do that, and you have to have running backs to do that. I think, you know, they're probably going to end up parting ways with Zeke, and that'll leave them Pollard. But he's got to have help. So either they've got to draft someone, you know, and go that route. But McCarthy's made a comment that he'd rather – you know, give that elite defense. They've got a great defense. I think their defense is a top five in the league. And I think that if they can do that, they'll be better off than this turnover game, you know, because that's what Dak's doing. You know, he's throwing the ball 45 times, and then he's making a few critical mistakes in the wrong time, and they're losing games. So... But I don't have a lot of faith in McCarthy either. They have their offensive coordinator now is Schottenheimer, and I think he's a chip off the old block, and I don't think he's worth a shit either. So I'm not expecting a lot from him. He can't even call a timeout when he needs to. Now he's going to run the whole offense again. You know, I want to go in and I want to be the timeout coach. I'll just go in and call timeouts. Okay, we got a minute and a half left. I'll call the timeout coach since you didn't have enough sense to. Because we've gone on this show and we've talked about these sorts of mistakes that McCarthy's made. Now, Rob had a different take on it where he was comparing, and rightfully so, in some aspects, comparing – you know, Sean Payton and McCarthy with winning one Super Bowl and having good quarterbacks and this sort of thing. But the one thing that Sean Payton does, he doesn't make those fundamental mistakes like that during the game where McCarthy does that cost your team games. Now, now he's going to be in charge of the offense that he hasn't been in charge with for the last however many years. 4 or 5 years, whatever it is. I think it's a shit show waiting to happen.
Bye-bye, CeeDee Lamb, if you do that dumb shit. Go ahead and keep running the ball and don't give CeeDee Lamb the ball. He's going to be out.
Yeah. They better get another receiver because CeeDee Lamb was the only wide receiver that caught any passes last year. And so he had a better find a way to get a receiver, whether it be free agency or in the draft here. Yeah.
Maybe we'll get that guy from Cincinnati.
This guy,
he's on fire. That GM said, y'all better go find your own receiver.
Oh, that's pretty good, Gary.
Hey, you never know.
Nice.
Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in to another great edition with Talk Sports for the 12th Man. We're not going to have an OT portion on tonight. We're going to be back at you on next Tuesday night. I think we're back on our regular night on next week on Tuesday night. So next week we want to hear from y'all. East Coast, Philadelphia, Boston, y'all battling for that Eastern Conference. We want to hear from y'all. Central Time Zone, Milwaukee, we want to hear from you guys too. Mountain Time Zone, Denver, number one in the Western Conference. And then also West Coast. You got to call out Fresno, baby. Jackson, Mississippi at the West Coast. Got to hear from y'all.
Oh, my God.
All right, people. Good night, people.
Hey, shout out this weekend. FAMU Grambling at Cool Right. FAMU Grambling Baseball this weekend at Cool Right here in Atlanta.
Hey, LSU Baseball, number one in the country, baby.
Hey, man. You talking about the HBCUs, bro. I need you to
go Southern and go Grambling.
Gotcha.
It ain't worked out so well lately.
Appreciate you, Naj, jumping on. I'm sorry I took a minute to jump in. I literally texted you and said we were having the show on tonight and took a minute to kind of get into the show, man. But keep it going,
no,
man.
No, you good, man. I got
it
late. So
yeah.
Man, you got to hit him with that future, man. Listen, you got to tell me next week what makes you go up to karaoke and say, you know what, I'm going to hit him with this future. Like, I need that story next week. I need to know how that happens.
Yeah, for real. So even when I DJ parties and I threw a couple of karaoke songs in there, I'm curious about which future song you're playing too. Because I mean, are you going on different? Or are you going, you know, I got a couple.
Hey, no,
too, man,
no,
I'm like,
no,
what?
We cannot. I gotta go to bed. We cannot get into this tonight. But please, Nas, call in next week, and we can put that into the first part of the show. Because I gotta know. I gotta know, but I can't know tonight. But I gotta know how you come to that conclusion. I gotta know.
Free bands, you got it, brother. You got it.
All right, guys. A lot of love. Shout out. I've got the Negro League Gray jersey on. Little Josh Gibson, love. Got to represent them as well, man. For Black History Month,
nice.
Got to get it in there. We're not
nice.
About to
nice.
Keep up. That's why I'm repping. So I'm gonna keep repping this, man, as much as I can, man. So a lot of love. See you guys same time Tuesday next week, gentlemen. Have a great week. Keep those texts coming. Naj, I'm going to add you to chat at 1.2. We'll get you going too, man, because I'd love to get your feedback on that too, man. So, anyway, we'll talk to you soon, man. Good night, gentlemen.
Good night, y'all.
Good night, fellas.
Night, y'all.
Peace.
Good night, y'all.